Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, page 30. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas, or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the holy name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested at being called God. Although undoubtedly he was God himself, the Lord behaves so to warn against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. So they represent God. They're respected as good as because they can give you the message of the Lord. You know, so here Mahatmas because they're great personalities, but also Tirtha because Tirtha means the place where by going you can become purified, you can be uplifted. The servants of God come to property God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glories. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants. And thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.16 purport. So you have that aspect of that eagerness to hear. Because if you're eager to hear, then what you hear, then you'll try to contemplate and see how to apply it. If you're not eager, then you'll be purified by the message. But it won't have that dynamic effect because they're not actually trying to, thinking about applying it. So that's why it says it's the first qualification, like that, if that's there. So it's all hinged around the devotees. The actual process is the association of devotees. That's the whole process. Because in that association, you hear about God, you'll be involved in activities connected to God. You know, this is then how then one pleases Krishna. Because for Krishna, for him, it's the whole arrangement between the devotees. You don't hear of a pastime where it's just him and one devotee. You know? Does that make sense? I mean, you have the mother Yashoda pastime where she's chasing, but you see very quickly then others are there. If you get into finer detail, when she's trying to, I think, I'm not sure which acharya then talks about it, that when they're tying Krishna with the rope, and she can't get, then getting more of it. But all the other ladies, she looks around the house to get ropes. All the other ladies also bring their ropes. That means they're around. And then, you know, there's so many ropes. It was defined as the festival of ropes. There's so many ropes, and they're tying all these ropes. And it's still never big enough. But it's a devotion. So the central point is Mother Yashoda's involvement in here, but you see it always has a much grander aspect. Does that make sense? So it's not only just Radha and Krishna, it's always Radha and Krishna and associates, not just him and Kaha, a Kaha is always the group. And even if he's sitting alone, let's say, sitting with Sridham or Sudham or Subal or something like that, there's something else going on. They're planning something, they're going to do something, so it's always involving others. So for Krishna, just this idea is just, me and Krishna, and we're sitting in that nice cloud with the Om sign and all that. That's not actually it's not a feature of Bhagavan. It means, yes, you and God are sitting together as Paramatma, right? But for him, he's Bhagavan. He's with his associates, he does what he does. But in our relationship to us, it's just Bhagavan. Right? So for Krishna, then this aspect of the devotees is the most important element, because it's devotees who are going to show the compassion. So the devotees who, being together, are going to taste. Right? It's not because I'm tasting, therefore there's compassion and association with devotees, or because I'm kind to the general living entities, doesn't mean necessarily I take up association with devotees or taste. But if you have the middle one, you have the other two. So you see, it's the central feature, because it's also the Avideya feature. Right? It means the situation, you're situated in showing mercy, but your activities are in the association of Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? And then that, then, as that Satyatamakirtayantama, then they taste. So it's actually the key element when you're dealing with this whole process. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if that's seen as less, or not as important, that's the symptom of the neophyte. The neophyte sees it as it's just, me and God, or me and my spiritual master, like this. They don't see beyond. Right? So one can understand how important the devotees are to you, then that's actually the main symptom of advancement. Because it means, Shraddha means you have faith in the devotees and what they're saying. Then sadhu sangha, you have more faith, you want to associate. Bhajana kriya, you want to do what they're doing. So it naturally goes up like that. Because we see is that in you get it more advanced, and it's how you're following the footsteps of the devotees that's actually the important point. It's who you're following. Somebody's thinking, we'll get there. No, it's who you're following. It's very specific, it's very personal. That's the thing. So we're following Srila Prabhupada. So it's very specific. But for those who go off here or there and other places like that, Prabhupada's, there, he's good, but it's not going to move you in those close circles. You may have a relation and interact with Prabhupada, but it won't be in the more confidential position, because you're not doing that. That's not your sadhana. That's not your focus. Does that make sense? So then you see is that it can say as, oh, we'll all be in the same place, as, yeah, we're all in one cosmos, or we'll all be in one spiritual world. But where within that we are, that you can't say that. You have no right to say that when you say is, oh, but we're all the Gaudiyas, so we're all together. But then you can say we're all the Vaishnavas, so we're all together. You can't say that. One does not have the capital to say that. It's that connection with the devotee that's important. So that connection with Srila Prabhupada, connection with the Acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami, that's where we are. Because others are in Vrindavan. I remember going to one Nimbarka's place, and he had a picture of Radha and Krishna in the Kunj. Right? One side is Vrindadevi, the other side is Jamuna Devi. Like we'll have Lalita Vishaka, they have Vrinda and Jamuna. It's a different pastime. It may be the same pastimes that are going on in the way of Radha and Krishna and their wonderful pastimes, and that the general pastime aspect, the principle, because conjugal pastimes tend to follow a certain pattern. You know? So you can say in that they're within that, but they're not in the same place that we are. You know, and even in the Gaudiyas, those are, you know, they claim to be this Vamsa, that Vamsa, this and that. It's that, yeah, it'll be different. So that's why we're very specific. It's personal. And it means something to Krishna. Is that you follow this person, therefore you're dear because of the connection with that person. It's not a generic impersonal, I'm just a devotee and Hari Bol, and I'll just take part wherever I like and pick and choose which pastime and which part of the pastime I want to do. It doesn't work like that. It goes together. You're with people, and then you're doing things with people. Is that good?
Yeah? Regarding those saints in the Akadic traditions, if they describe what is a person and the relationship with him, but without the description of other devotees, means they didn't attain the point of Bhagavan,
yeah, that could be. You do have that aspect. It's just a matter of Kriya's Prabhupada's explaining that the three features aren't like separate features. It's just how much you realize of the one person. You know, he gives the example of from a distance you see a mountain. So it looks like a cloud. But when you get closer, so you see it's green. But only when you get more close and you see then all the individual trees, the animals, the birds, the people, the houses, you know, all these things. So it's not three different realizations. It's just how close you are to the same one. So they're all understanding the same one person. It's just how close. So with that mentality, they can get themselves into Vaikuntha, because generally most are talking about that aspect. It's a Vaikuntha more of an aspect. You know, majesty and God's grace and things like that. Or even if they do have, a few of them have the idea of some kind of sweetness or closeness, but it's still more focused on themselves and God. It's not on God and the devotees. So you're not going to get into Braj. You're not, it means like that. Only with following what, you know, Rupa Goswami is giving in the Parampara, are you going to get to Braj. There is no other way. Say what you want. You can say, people say so many things, but, you know, people think whatever they like to think, but then there's reality. You know what I'm saying? So it's good. The point is that if you're developing love for God, then the religious process is working. And if you're not, then you should look at, well, what to do, or take up one that does. You know what I'm saying? So the Vedic system then gives the most developed form. That's interesting. You put it in an angle.
That's because I have a new book.
No. But I'm saying the clip.
Oh yeah, because
it points to where.
Points to where it's going.
Maybe we should cut them in the shape of a, you know, hand. You know.
Right. Pointer.
Yeah, you can make exclusive ones. Yeah, okay. Further elucidation by Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Just on this point. Also, we know that this is the name, and then the form, and then the qualities, and only then the pastime. So
yes.
It seems that there's some development.
Yes, there's a natural. That's why we hear the name. We have faith in the name. So the person in the beginning, when we say they have Shraddha, we may say Kamal Shraddha, but we're only pointing out Kamal in the comparison of what we're talking about, that more fixed or a more advanced position. But compared to anything else, it's real Shraddha. And so they may have faith in, you know, that the name is Krishna and the name is the process, and that you know, in Krishna and Guru and some rules and regulations. But there'll be impurities there that they don't see that the holy name is the only process. Everything else is the support of that. And other things don't actually have a value unless they support the chanting process. You know, in other words, exposing people to Krishna consciousness, that is the real point. Like you see, is I think it was Brahmananda was complaining when he went to the villages in Africa. Then they weren't into the philosophy. There's also a good chance that nobody knew the language good enough also. But in any case, whatever it was, you know, then that. But Prabhupada said, don't worry about that. Just do kirtan and just do the prasad. And that, they were like 100% into. Totally. Start kirtan, the whole village would come out. And you're shivering prasad, you know, probably more than the village would come out. You know, you know, their pet tiger and everything will come out. You know. So, that's the essential point. And then the philosophy's there, then you're sure that they know and understand, they won't get distracted. Because without the tattva, you don't necessarily understand it, so you can make a mistake. You know, if you can't tell the difference between a rope and a snake, then there'll be a problem. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. So to develop our eagerness to hear about Krishna, Vasudeva Katha Rutsihi, we have to render service to a person who is under the protection and guidance of Krishna's transcendental nature. Right, so someone has taken shelter of that, and the more they've taken shelter, the greater the advantage. And the thing here is that it's not just the position, it's the dynamic aspect of the flow of the chit potency. You know, of that practice, that not applied knowledge, the abhideya. So even if they know tons of the sambandha aspect, but they're not necessarily practicing it, then they don't actually qualify properly as an opta. No, they're speaking and not, you'll get benefit, but at the same time as there may be areas where they get confused, because for them it's all about the knowledge, and because they're seeing the knowledge in different places, it may say different, you know, the vichar, they're bringing out a different feast. Yeah, they'll see that there's a contradiction. And so then with persons like this, areas where they're convinced and focused and therefore act like that, that's where they'll be opta. And areas where they're not, they get confused, then there would be no advantage to their association at that point. In fact, just as they're confused, you'll become confused. So as soon as they start talking these things, that's when you know, look at your watch and go, you know, oh, I'm late, and stuff like that. So it's just that should be seen. So now he's mentioned about that developing the eagerness is the first point. So now this is then how to develop it will be to render service to such people, therefore Vaishnava Seva. You know. And then that's going to bring out. And so you can see is that in the beginning devotees can see, okay, respect of the spiritual master. So then there'll be so much emphasis, let's say, on Prabhupada, you know, about saying he's the founder of Acharya, but not actually understanding what that means. But in any case, that's a respect. But then for other senior devotees, other than general devotees, friends, junior devotees, not necessarily a proper discrimination is made. There's not necessarily great value there. So you know the neophyte position is there. It's a weak position. That's why it's come on. As soon as that's there, it becomes fixed, because then you're serving all of them. Because there's this idea that if I'm on the top, I'm not serving. The Prabhupada pointed out that jiva means serving. Right? Because even, he gives the example, even if you're the president of the country, you have to serve the people of the country, or at least minimum serve the votes. You know, you're bound, if they don't vote you in, you can't do anything. So you are still serving. There's no question of it. But there's this foolish idea that, no, if I'm on the top, I don't serve. But what we see is Lord Chaitanya, when at Haridas Thakur's disappearance festival, then he was personally serving prasad. And then when it was seen that how he was, you know, he was so enthusiastic to serve, he was giving everybody like he would give himself. So he eat five times what a normal person eat. So seeing that, Srup Damodar told him, you know, you sit down, the devotees, you know, will be more comfortable if you sit when you, because unless you eat, they won't eat. So convince them like that. Then Srup Damodar and all those senior devotees, they served. You know? Does that make sense? But the modern context is, no, I could be busy in the meeting doing something important, let the new bhaktas or the guys, you know, the friends of Krishna, let them serve, because it is such a, you know, unimportant aspect of...
Anybody can do
it. Yeah, anybody could do it. Like that. When actually sitting in a meeting, anybody could do. You know, serving prasad, it's actually rare that people are qualified.
Actually, usually sannyasis serve prasad, yogi.
Sorry? Yeah, if you're in the Gaudiya Math, they serve. Remember when we go to Damodar Maharaj's Vyasaputta, he'd be serving prasad. Him and the other senior devotees. Like that. So that's the thing, is in the typical thing, unless you were second initiated and understood the culture and practiced it, you weren't allowed to serve prasad to the devotees. I mean, it's a lesser concern. Let's say the first that could serve for some of the guests or things like that, if need be. But if the others could serve, they wouldn't include them. You know, because it's taken seriously. Serving prasad is important. Just like leading kirtan. It's not how well you know the kirtan, like we see what Bhaktisiddhanta says when we talk about in the final days of kirtan. Then he preferred the wala from the Goshala. And he, from what I understand, you know, he was not well known for his kirtan. I think carrying a tune in a bucket would have been the closest he could get, you know, to, you know, because he like that. He wasn't a fabulous, but his devotion, because he was the guy that when the professor came, he sent him, no, you go learn from him. You know, he told him end of the Goshala. That was that devotee. So he had him sing. And in those days, I only saw what was left in the 70s of the Gaudiya Math Kirtaniers, and they were like amazing. So you can imagine what they were back then, the technique, the technical things, everything was just so amazing. And he preferred that because of just the pure devotion. So that's the thing. We'll take it. No, it's the guy who knows the technique. We're the professional kirtaniers. We should do the kirtan. Doesn't Prabhupada make some point about professional kirtaniers, how not to hear from them? You know? So that's not the qualification. You know? Because it's a point of devotion. You know, driving the car, yes, it's not a matter of devotion. It's about the guy who knows the technique. You know? Like that, because that's just an ordinary thing. But kirtan, serving prasad, cooking for the deities, serving the deities, that should be people who... The devotion is the main, and then the technique, as it's developed, then they can be engaged.
So we should introduce maybe for our kirtan melas, certain period. We call it Goshal Kirtan something. We invite somebody who is not actually part of the scene. Like I remember Banu Swami, for example, he's not known as Kirtaniya normally.
No, not at all.
But when he came in our place in Bulgaria, we let him lead Kirtan. He led fabulous Kirtan for a long time. And he has taste, real taste.
Yeah.
But people don't know that. So I was thinking that
yeah.
We have these people also.
Yeah, the Dosha like you. That's interesting. That'd be an interesting thing. Because I remember before it was always this thing, is no, but we know all this, why is it these guys get? And it was always like, no, but devotees, the big kirtans, there's certain people, before, you know, they would go because they did the kirtans, not these other guys. Because the kirtan mela and all that, and those kind of things were famous because of certain devotees, not the professional kirtaniers, but those devotees. Because they would, in their own yatra, just do kirtan. So in other words, the guy that always does kirtan in the yatra and does all the artiks and everybody's inspired, they're the ones that have do kirtan, not the guy who's, you know, so professional and all that. Like that. Now, because before, that professional was just ordinary. Ordinary means it was common. It means the way they could play drum or sing or like that, they knew all the ragas, they knew all the tals, and they could mix them up as was matched the mood and all that. But for them, it was just like breathing. It wasn't they thought about it, and oh, check out this technique, and oh, now we're going to do this, and having these looks to each other like, you know, but nobody else knows, and those kind of things. Those are...
That's funny, though.
Yeah, because you see that, you know, they're going, it's happening, it's like we're in the groove, that the thing is that the guys in the groove don't know, don't think about they're in the groove. Because as soon as you think about you're in the groove, you're not in the groove. That's the way the groove works. No? Yeah. Oh, so that's where the term groovy came from. It's groovy. It's happening. It's in the groove. Never thought of that. Because that, I think, I mean, the groove was from the beatniks, you know, or like that, you know. I think it came from the blues and jazz and like that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so that you just see is that that's going to be the position is when that when Vaishnava seva, Vaishnava association is valued, then you know now you're solid in devotional service. The Prabhupada expected that would be the platform for someone who takes second initiation. Right? So it's not second initiation is not about the prestige. Second initiation is about your fixed. So you know, like I've heard of devotees, you know, kind of in anxiety about second initiation because so many other senior people in the yatra have it and they don't have it and they want to, you know, be on that same social position. But it's not, that's not what it's about. So, yeah.
So, second initiation would mean that you are stable in devotional service.
Yes.
It wouldn't necessarily mean that you have brahminical varna.
No, it means you're stable. People who are brahminical varna, it may be easy for them to get to that position of being stable. But you're also looking stable in understanding the philosophy and practice. So you'd want the two to be together, so it wouldn't make a difference. But you would see is that that person would be very natural like within the regular, you know, like in the nitya kriya aspect of the brahminical activities. Any Vaishnava who's situated nicely, then in the naimittic will be quite outstanding. You know, it's like, you know, it's like that person who, you know, he just does a service. He's not necessarily of a brahminical conditioning, but if it comes to speaking something about Krishna and all that at a festival or some unique thing, or someone asks him, it's like he's not the one to give the class, but yeah, he'll give, say, amazing things, or, you know, they'll lead a nice kirtan, or, you know, they can do an artik, or do an offering for, you know, a special day, or stuff. But they wouldn't be the one to do the shaligram puja, you know, like that, or, you know, things that, those kind of necessarily regular. So any devotee who's in that proper conscience will be, and they know the technique, then they can be engaged in those brahminical activities on a, you know, occasional basis. But for those who can day in, day out, and do it without, and have the proper mentality, that's going to be brahminical. If they do it day in, day out, because you pay them, and that pays the rent, so that's why they show up, they're a little dutiful. But if they can figure out how to make the money without that, after 2 years, right, they step out of the temple and go out. Isn't that the standard poverty? Yeah.
Because sometimes devotees don't make this distinction. They think that if you get second initiation, that means you must be necessarily a brahminically conditioned nature.
No. Because we're going on, it means it should be that there is from the Vaishnava development, from practice, that aspect of the mode of goodness and regularity and being fixed in the philosophy, convicted, that should be there. But it does, so that is the upper platform, that's the basis of the brahminical platform. So if you have that, then they're functioning as Brahmins because they're doing that. But the conditioned nature, then they have to have that particular kind of nature that they can do the same thing day in, day out without change, and because it's what is supposed to be done. The Shastra says. Not that I feel like it or someone else said or it's in the news, it's trending. No, it's because this is what you do. Because these trends, they come, they go, they're, you know. Whatever was there last year, it's not happening this year. Right? You know what I'm saying? Is Black Lives Matter in the news these days? No. Now and again, someone brings it up, someone tries to revive it a little bit. But it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't, it's not going to trend. You know, so that's the thing, is that the Brahma, he does whatever people, other people are doing or not doing, it doesn't matter. This is what's supposed to be done. They do it. You know? So then it works. So that's the point. So from that platform, then you can say, is from that aspect, then anybody who's has second initiation, one would expect that they would naturally be on that position of having that Dridha Shraddha and be fixed in devotional service. So that way they are then the perfection of Brahma, means as Vaishnava. But the conditioning, no. Otherwise, why is it you have... why is it then, if you want a pujari anywhere in the world, you have to look to, you know, the Bengalis or the Russians? You know, because if you go around and do a, you know, if we get into the data, then you're going to see is that it means a ridiculous amount of pujaris and that in the movement are from these groups. You know, why would we have to rely there if it's a matter of... because everyone's talking about local preaching and this and that and, you know, white is right and, you know, like that. And, no, isn't it? I mean, I heard people, presidents saying in, like, you know, not now, before, in Australia, it's like, you know, preaching the Indian group, this is not it. I mean, they took down the president a few years back because he was with the Indian community, was going to move the temple to this big, huge project and do this big thing and had local support of the council and this and that. They said, no, it's this place. This is where we preach to the white people, the Australians. And you go downtown and you sit at one of the crosswalks, then, you know, 2 out of 20 would be white. Mm-hmm. 2 out of 20. Like that. So, you know, it's there. And also in the West, oh, you know, Indian preaching is, you know, not the thing. It's got to be the Americans. But it means like a... hello? Your vice president is, you know, half Indian. You know, the guy and the prime minister in England is, you know, from Indian descent, 100%. Yeah. You know, so what are you talking about? You know, and also Biden, even if you look into it, if you go back, I think, 6 generations, he, somebody in the line was Indian. Wow. Yeah, he was, I think, you know, must have been English, you know, some kind of gentry or something like that. And he married an Indian woman. And so their son came down like that. So he's in that line. He has relatives here in India. I'm just saying, he has. I mean, they brought it up to him, but he wouldn't nibble at it.
Yeah.
They brought it up. Hey, come on, you know, yeah, buddy, you know. Yes, and it was kind of like, you know, who are these guys, you know? Like,
well, the vice president is from South India.
Yeah.
I just saw on the news, Maharaj, the new prime minister went to Bhaktivedanta Manor.
Yes.
And
yes.
He was greeted by Indian descent sannyasi there. So there were like two Indians, one is the head of the so it's in London, yeah. But one is the head of the spiritual society, yeah. And the other is the head of the government, and they're both from Indian origin.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yes, understood that whites are overrated, that they're the first world. I mean, most of the world is not white. That's why nowadays they drop the thing about dividing by Caucasians, because otherwise you have Caucasians.
No, it's kind of white.
Yeah, cockaloid, like not mongoloid, and I forget what the negroid. So that means anybody who has a little bit of, what do you call it, oriental features, that would be the mongoloid. Anybody who has the African feature, that would be negroid. The whole rest of the world, you know, from India all the way over Middle East, Europe, and then America, South, they would be Caucasian. So then that freaks out the whites, that the Caucasians, most Caucasians on the planet aren't white. And even if they are white, they don't have blue eyes and blonde hair. Like the whole East Bloc, everybody has black hair, brown eyes, black hair. They're all white as could be. Right? It means East Europe, everybody, that black hair, brown eyes. You know, so they're not, you know, so that's the thing, is their definition, this definition that these are the people, because America's made up of everyone from everywhere, so therefore, why is it the whites are the prominent one? They may have been in the past, but they're not anymore. So you go by what's today. Go by what's, you know, America today. You know, isn't that a morning talk show or something? Like that. You know, it's like, you go by that. And so you go, that's what's going on. You know? And so then you don't worry about those things. So you can't go on these prestige things or these what do you call it? Stereotypes and all this and that, because you see is that these others, they had their own culture and they were fixed in it and very religious, and their social life and family life and economic life and all that, you know, it's going along. Like that, but if they apply themselves into the Western culture, which has, you know, doesn't have any of these value systems, you know, not in how it's done in the modern, then they, you know, what's to distract you? You know, so they have the piety. So if they do get into the first world lifestyle, they're way better at it.
The new prime minister has more money than the queen used to.
Yeah. Like that, you know. So I'm sure if you check that, you know, whatever it is, their Forbes 500 or 200 or one, whatever they have in England, that a lot of them are Indian, you know. And if you check that the whites, much of them will be, it may be from the past, but these other guys, they made it, you know, within a generation or two. Their father made it, or they made it, you know. So then they're good. So look at who's good. Why, don't worry about, you know, that. So that's the thing, is who can do it, then they do it. You try to include everybody, and that, but the, something that one time.
Is it a hawk?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, it is. What did he find?
Found something in the dirt.
Okay, maybe there's someone there. Okay. Yeah, he's been going around here a lot. Like that was a group of them, so. I've never seen him come down and land. I'm surprised no one's making noise. I don't know what song.
Picked up something.
Are they? There might have been a rat or something in there. That's what he probably saw. So, the whole point is it doesn't matter where anybody's from. It's that, how what's their interest in Krishna consciousness? And you say, oh, but they never joined and everything like that. How many whiteies have joined? You got a community of 100 Indians come to the temple once a week. They come for all the festivals. They give some donations and all that. But, oh, but they're not serious. And then, so where are the whiteies that are serious? Go ahead, knock me out. I remember once American presidents were sitting here, something like that. And they were talking about some bhakta that they all knew. Is that what you're going to talk about?
I was
going to
make a joke, and then I decided not to.
Okay. So then, what do you call it? Yeah. So someone said something about, you know, happening. Something. Oh, who does this? Oh, yeah. This is bhakta of this guy. And the other president's, really? Is that your temple now? He's been a bhakta, I mean, at that time, this was probably back in the 90s, and that, he was a bhakta for 12 years. He just kept, you know, being in one temple for a few years, and then when things didn't work out, he moved to the next temple and just move around. So this was presidents that were the whole of America. So you had somebody from, you know, L.A., someone from, you know, Texas, someone from, you know, that in the South, someone, you know, he was at New York at this time. And they were all, wow, okay, that's who he is. You know, so they all knew. They all knew him.
I've seen the type, Maharaj. I've seen this type in Europe. I mean, potentially he could be one of those.
Yeah, so it's just like that, you know. So they gravitate. So it's just like, great, wow, how many bhaktas have come? Like they sound like that, you know. But if it's a matter of, oh, but we're not modern and up-to-date enough, it's like, so we were modern and up-to-date in the 60s and 70s? Is that why? Is that people joined because we were so up-to-date, you know? You know, the devotees dressed like mods, you know, and we were out there, and it was happening, and, you know, we did the music, you know, everyone had the afro, you know, and stuff like that.
And the discos preaching.
Yeah, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, that's why thousands and thousands of devotees, or they were just like, they just dropped out of you know, Vrindavan, you know, right under the street in New York, and people, what's this? And doing something they've never heard or seen before, and that's where people join. So it's completely misnomer. So that's the whole point, is we have to have our eagerness, we have to render service to the Vaishnavas, and it has to be about that, not modern approaches to it. It has to be from the tradition. Because the tradition is just what works. The modern means it's temporary. It always changes. Because whatever you can do today, after 6 months, in some sort, you can't do it anymore. The more modern it is, the shorter the lifespan. You know, like that. And the more traditional it is, the longer the lifespan. So, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, what do you call it? It means that the tradition of having, how you say, those of a more swarthy color as head of the country in England. So the last time they had someone like this was 200 years ago. Like that. But if you go back, I was seeing one thing, and they were talking about, there was a lot of people from like the area of Turkey and stuff like that that came up to England. Go way, way back, you know. Before the Celts even. You know, that's what they say. I doubt it. But, you know, so you got all kinds of like that.
Many Roman emperors were from very humble background, of course.
Yeah.
And from all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place. Especially me, so you bring in from around. You know, you go around Constantinople, go down to Alexandria, and things like that. They're not necessarily going to be. You know, your, what do you call it? Swedish standard. No. That service begins with faith. Shradhanasya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.16. Without faith, you cannot make any progress. As Srila Rupa Goswami has written, Adau Shraddha, the beginning of spiritual life is faith. That faith can be simply some appreciation for Krishna consciousness without it even taking up the process of bhakti yoga. A person thinks, these Hare Krishna people are very nice. Such appreciation will give him a touch of spiritual life. And the development of this appreciation by degrees will develop the development of his spiritual life. Right? Yeah, so then the point is you engage them how much they can. Like that. So that much there. So even that's fanned and seen as nice. So they're like prasad, like even they have all the vagrants coming around for the Sunday feast and that. You know, they're coming for prasad. They're getting benefit. And you never know who they're going to be in the future. You've had at least I remember hearing at least two big international celebrities that at one point were down and out, their only regular meal was from the temple. Like that. And so then, you know, it comes up. And so you don't know. Maybe if they're a problem for other people, and people get ready, put them in a different room and feed them and do something for them. Have them do kirtan and, you know, discuss a little bit with them how much you can and, you know, like that. And, you know, remind, you know, I say Joe that he's got to leave the bottle outside the door like that, but then he's worried someone will steal it. And said, no, no one will steal it. The next stage is Sadhu Sangha. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.83. So they have that faith. If something is there, it's more than just, you know, it's interesting or like that. It's actually nice. There's something good here. That's where it catches. And so it can be as little as this or as much as just hearing and being convinced and then taking up the process. Right? The next stage is Sadhu Sangha, Madhya Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22.83. Association with devotees of Krishna. In this stage one may think, all right, the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and talking of Krishna. Let me go to the temple and sit down and hear. The third stage is Bhajana Kriya, beginning to perform the process of devotional service. And after one has been associating nicely with devotees and engaging in devotional service for some time, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and observing the regulative principles, one will naturally feel, why not become a disciple of a spiritual master? Therefore, we receive many applications. Srila Prabhupada, kindly accept me as your disciple. Right, so this is going to come up. So that means it's in Bhajana Kriya that there's, so it has to be that, you know, it's there. And so you see those who are doing, that's generally what is seen, that they're generally more regular. Then comes anartha nivritti, vanquishing unwanted habits. One of these habits is illicit sex. We prohibit this in our society. If one of our members wants to have sex, he or she can get married, but sex outside marriage is strictly forbidden. It is simply an anartha, rascaldom. Another anartha is intoxication. What is the use of intoxication? There is no need for it. In our society, we prohibit any type of kind of intoxication. We don't even allow coffee, tea, or cigarettes. So why are we dying for want of tea? Are we dying for want of tea or cigarettes? No. Nor are we dying for want of meat eating or gambling, which we also prohibit. Therefore, all these things are anarthas, unnecessary things. So the first stage in the development of taste for hearing about Krishna is some preliminary appreciation. The second stage is association with devotees. The third is engagement in devotional service. And the fourth stage, achieved if one is actually executing the rules and regulations of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, is freedom from unwanted desires and habits. Then comes nishtha, firm faith, in the process of Krishna consciousness. And the sixth stage is ruchi, a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving him, and so on. Interesting is that saying is the stage of developing a taste for Krishna, because taste is the actual beginning where you see the aspect of pure devotional service in its natural form, but on a small level. So bhava is the potency that makes all of them work, but actually the form of bhava is seen starting from ruchi. But it's very small. It's not on the level like bhava. So then, you know, it's small. You get taste, but it's dynamic. Then that from that comes attachment, so that gets bigger. That then matures into bhava. So there's some attraction. You know, so the beginning of taste means there's a little ruchi. It may not have come for the person. I think then they divide it down. They have for the name, then they have something for some aspects, but then bhava means it's actually for the person, in relation with the person. So I think, I remember one time some devotee mentioned about what is that development, you know, so you can distinguish it. So, you know, it means it's elements of bhava, but it's not bhava. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
Also, we see that Prabhupada also translates like nishtha as the form state in the process of Krishna consciousness. Mm. That's what clearly brought out by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Amaya Sutra. Nishtha is also faith. Generally, feel and stability in.
Yeah, yeah, nitya. Okay. So, anishtha, because nishtha is stable. So, it's nitya.
Nishtha, that full faith in the process of the devotional service.
Yeah, but I'm saying it brings out that aspect of nitya. It's always there. Mm-hmm. It's not sometimes there, sometimes not. That'll be still an art in the preaching. Okay.
Just yesterday I was listening to something from Bhamaswami, and it struck me that he explained that on the level of bhava, it's Thai bhava actually, so bhava, Thai bhava appears on the level of bhava. So he was explaining that there are also activities there, of course, done in the senses, but they are not anymore sadhana, they are like anubhavas now.
They're doing because they want with it, because they're inspired, naturally inspired, rather than they should. Oh, that's very nice. That's a very nice way of mentioning it. Well, that's very nice. Yeah, because I think also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, then he mentions that on the aspect of rag bhakti, it might start in the platform of the madhyama, you know, from nishtha. It might, you know, specifically from taste. There's an idea, but it's actually a taste. Or it may, you may be following Vaidhi right up to Bhava, but at Bhava it will switch to Rag, because then, like you said, because it's Anubhava. It's the natural one, them in contact with the devotees and Krishna as the Vishaya, and naturally that as the Ashraya, then they're going to have that mood that they want to serve Krishna, they're inspired, so that would be the Anubhava. No, so that's very, very nice, yes. Suppose a person is suffering from jaundice. To him, sugar candy tastes bitter, not sweet. But sugar candy is the best medicine for him. If he eats sugar candy, gradually his disease will be cured, and at last he will come to the point where candy tastes sweet again. Similarly, to come to the stage of Vasudeva Kataruchihi. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.16, a taste for hearing the glorification of Krishna. He must first go through the five stages mentioned above, which sometimes may appear bitter. But if you continually hear about Krishna with faith and appreciation, you will surely come to the stage of tasting. Then you will get the sword of remembrance of Krishna spoken of in the last verse. Yad anu jasina. If you have a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, you can very easily remember Krishna by constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 12, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. The trend means, according to Upanishad, then, you know, what is it? Is it that asatoma? Yeah, it means you're going from the dark to the light. Right? And so going from the dark to the light means going from the material to the spiritual, to the transcendental. So then if you go by this, the way of transcendence, so then you have the way and the light. So here it's that transcendence is true. Yes.
Asatoma satya means from untruth to truth.
To truth.
Tamasoma jyotirga.
Okay, yeah, then from darkness to light. But it's the same. I was just making a play on here because you have the way, the truth, and light. And so here you have the way, the truth, you know, mentioned in the.
Maharaj. I mean, you said it several times, but the one that stuck with me was a few years ago, you were giving a class, you were talking about these stages, and you mentioned that each of the previous stages are intensified as we go through.
Yes, yes.
And so I was giving a class, and I was mentioning that, and someone asked me where that came from. Is there a reference where that's actually...
Because, well, yeah, it means the general one, you know, which I mean, basis, the Srila Prabhupada says, prema is mature faith,
right.
Shraddha. So that means what's happening is faith is increasing each time. So basically, you have Shraddha. Then when it's one unit of Shraddha, we would call Shraddha. When it's two units of Shraddha, now we'll call it Sadhu Sangha. When there's three units, then we'll call it Bhajana Kriya. When it's four units of Nartha Nivriti, five units like that. So it just keeps increasing like that.
Right, so it makes sense. And also here with Nishtha being defined as firm faith, that also shows that.
Yes.
This devotee, he's an editor, so he was curious, like, if there was something, there was some reference that specifically stated that he should be.
Well, it's just, but the problem is I mean, means you have to be able to also understand the context and how everyone's saying it and what
right.
they're saying. Because like here, Prabhupada's saying it's going up. Without these first five, you don't come to here. But
right.
the first one is Shraddha, you know, our faith. And now he's talking about that firm faith, you know. So the acharyas, you have to see is this is what's going on. But what they want to know is that the shloka in Sanskrit, you know, from the ancient literature says, when this devotee named, you know, in the future, in that, sitting at his window looking out on, you know, 2nd Street from the 2nd floor on Thursday afternoon, you know, after he, you know, went to the bathroom, then, you know, it has to be that specific. Then it means exactly this, like that, and nothing else. And if you translate any other way, you're a demon and all that, you go to hell and all your forefathers. So if you have a verse like that, then let's go, okay, now. So I mean, people ask me, why is it said, where does it say we can worship the guru? You know, that you should worship every day. Because the point is, no, everyone should worship Prabhupada, everybody else can go jump in the lake. Yeah, 3 times in that. Yeah, he said, no, but that's Prabhupada. You know, like, then I pointed out how the deity worship works, and that you, without guru, you can't do, and that means you're Diksha Guru, so that means everybody, every day, when they do, they should do. Prabhupada just made it because not everyone's doing puja, that you have that. So therefore, if they have their puja, then what's the problem? No, but it doesn't say that exactly in the word for word, take it, you know, like that. So they're not going to buy anything. That's right, the problem.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So whenever they say, you know, where's the reference, and you give a reference like I gave, then if they're cool with that, great. But if they no, exact, then it's like, don't even, that you've already come to Nigrahasthana. There's no question, because even you brought it and it says,
right?
You know, and even it says, they'll say no.
Well, plus the way we presented it is that, you know, you can actually observe it. You know, as you have faith and you associate with the sadhus, then your faith increases, and therefore you're now going to have enough faith to engage in the bhajan kriya.
Yeah. And then
as that progresses,
and then you're willing to give up.
Yeah. So, you know, I even explained it that way too, but I mean, you kind of just.
Since
I said it in such a specific way, like it's one, like I did it just like you said, it's one part, you know, one part shraddha, then two part shraddha, one part shraddha. It's not good. You know, so since I had numbers, he thought I got it from somewhere.
No, like that. You're just pointing it out. Because they say, you're only using that because they say 1 to 9.
Right.
I mean, it could be that's 1 and then 10 and then 100 and 1,000. You know, so premas, you know, when you have quadrillions of that level, then you get, you know, like, who knows, you know, but. Point is, it's just giving an idea.
Yeah, okay.
You're supposed to catch.
Yeah, I mean, from here, just those three, from, you know, Shraddha and then Nishtha, you can find like this and then.
Yeah, and without those first five, you're not going to come to Ruchi.
Okay.
Then you see is that they're talking about as Bhava all the way down, and then Prabhupada's talking about Bhava's, means this non vyacharas are mentioned, though it's not mentioned very much. It's known as Bhava Sadhana, because you don't want to bring that out too much, because that's where the Sahajiyas, you know, get excited. Is that, you know, it's a sadhana, because we don't do Vaidhi sadhana, so we can do Rag sadhana.
Right.
But, you know, it's in sadhana bhakti, but they forget that bhava is not the platform of sadhana. That's beforehand. You know, and they're talking about how they're on prema. No, bhakti is practice. So even if it's on the platform of bhava, it's still called bhakti until you get to prema. Like that. So the process we're following, that's bhakti. And when it comes to that mature state, then that's called prema. It's not called bhakti. I mean, it is bhakti, but it's not like this bhakti siddhartha. But you make the difference, just like Gokula and Goloka, you know, or Goloka and Boma. You know, you make these distinctions. Sometimes the same words are used in both places. Like this Gokula means Braj, but then you have Gokul here. And then they'll say, oh, well, that's Boma. You know, so he's always emphasizing, instead of saying, yeah, when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes, then, you know, like this and that, we're talking about it on the spiritual platform. No, when Krishna comes and does his, appears in the material world and performs his pastime in the material, you know, in this material, you know, they always overemphasize that Boma Leela is material and it's down here and it's something less and, you know, something cut rate you get at Costco's, you know, like that. And,
well, actually, it's something higher in a sense, actually, because here you have things that you don't have there.
Yeah. So, in a sense, it's higher. Yeah, so very, very, yeah. So it's so they don't make it, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in explaining this in Brahma Samhita then makes it very clear that those from Goloka who are in the Braja pastimes don't make this distinction. Mm-hmm. They can point out that what they are simply one's higher, one's means higher, meaning in location. Because as you're going up, material world's the lowest, then you go up, and then Shiva Loka, then Vaikuntha, then there'll be Goloka, then there'll be, you know, Braja, like this, and it goes up, like that. So in that way, one's higher, one's situated lower. But it's not that there's one is better than the other. Yes?
Also, in Nectar of Instruction, it's very clearly mentioned that, you know, from the material world and the spiritual world is higher. But higher than all the Vaikuntha planets is the Mathura Dham in the world, in here, in the earthly planet. It says Mathura planet, Mathura in the earthly planet.
It's higher than Vaikuntha.
It's higher than Vaikuntha. Then it goes more and more detailed. More and more deep into that.
Yeah.
So it's very obviously pointed out also. So.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is when you're an editor and all that, because you know editing, then that's good. But when you're an editor because you understand language and communication, now that would be a good editor. Because the other one may be very exact. Oh, you can't put a comma here. According to who? You know? Why can't you put a comma here? You know? You should, because it's always that, no, you should know how to read. You should know how to naturally put in the stops. Why not put the commas there? You know? Why not? What's wrong with putting the... They used to, but now it's the American. They, oh, no, you're more educated. The less punctuation you put, the more educated you are. Rather than the more clear it is and the more exact it is and the more people, the, you know, broadest range of people can understand it, that's, you know, better. Because otherwise, sometimes certain sentences can be read two or three ways. You know, and maybe you do read it the right way, maybe you don't. Many times you go back and reread and stuff like that. It does work. Like I see sometimes these ones, if you go back and look at, like, thus, you hear this, you know, there's always traditionally a comma. But you can also not put the comma if you're really focusing on the next point. You know, thus one should do this. You know, then you put the comma. Otherwise, you know, like this, so you're trying to put the emphasis. But otherwise, thus one should do this. Otherwise, then you can put both commas. But there's an insistence on taking out the first one. And in some senses, it works really good. But in others, then you're going to, you know, it's just you should know that there is one there. Okay, if you're 70 years old, you know, you should know. But the problem is do the young people know? No. Okay, then. Suppose we did. Oh, we finished that. Okay. It is said, sages free from false pride live on this earth by frequenting the sacred pilgrimage sites. Because such devotees keep your lotus feet within their hearts, the water that washes their feet destroys all sins. Having turned their minds towards you, the ever blissful soul of all existence, they no longer dedicate themselves to serving family at home, which simply robs a man of his good qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.35. Generally, taste develops by association with great devotees, Mahat Sangaha. By serving holy tirthas, one can serve great devotees. By serving great devotees, taste for the Lord's topics develops. If one goes to a holy place for other purposes, one may meet devotees who wander to holy tirthas, or who live there, and one may perform service in the form of seeing, touching, and conversing. By that, one develops faith in worshiping the Lord. One then develops the desire to hear what these devotees are discussing together when they spontaneously speak about the Lord. From hearing, taste for the topics develops. Hearing from great devotees has immediate effect. Thus it is said, quote, from association with the best devotees, topics of my glorious pastimes become directly realized, bringing the devotees to nishtha. Then the topics become an elixir for the heart and ears at the stage of ruchi. By taste for these topics, asakti, bhava, and then prema for the Lord, who is the destroyer of material life, quickly develop in sequence. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25. Oh, so this is Kapila speaking.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that here asakti, bhava, and prema are in the verse are shraddha, rati, and bhakti. So shraddha is.
Oh, okay. In the.
Shraddha, rati, bhakti, anukramishiti. That means asakti.
Oh, there.
Rati,
so.
Bhava, and
bhakti. So what's nishtha?
Shraddha.
Shraddha. Okay, so that, because technically it means you do have the element that there'll be, that is, it's strong, that when you come to nishtha, so your faith is fixed, then you can strongly say this person is a devotee, because he'll be steadily a devotee. Well, below that point, you have the point is today they may be devotee, tomorrow not, or today they're talking devotionally, but tomorrow they get, you know. Just like sometimes you see devotees, they get into this huge argument over, you know, whether, you know, Trump should have been president or will be president. Like, I mean, really heated discussions. I mean, like, really your heart's into it, you know.
Still is president.
He's just on the sabbatical, right? Yes. And that, you know, or like I said before, on the you know, Ukraine-Russian war, you know, between Ukraine devotees and Russian devotees, rather than both of them just thinking, you know, these karmis are idiots. No, it's, you know, Mother Russia and Mother Ukraine and, you know, fight for your country and go out there and, you know, but then the point is the devotees saying that, that means that those other devotees, they're there because they can't leave. You know, it's not like the Ukrainians can leave, so they didn't even bother with mobilization. Just close the borders you have automatically, you know, so. So then, you know, who are they going to be killing? There'd be some devotees there.
Yeah.
You know, but there's you know, for our country, and if you're not doing it, you're not a good devotee, you know, because you're not, you know, it's just, you know, it's weird. So these kind of things is that they're not, you can't call that moment their best moment in devotional service. You know, so therefore, that's why then it's said at Nishtha, where nothing else other than Krishna consciousness, the main thing. That only that will make things perfect. Then it will be. Otherwise, no. But when we you know are up to date with all the modern you know ways of thinking, then bhakti will flourish. No, it never will, never will, never has, never will. Otherwise, why wasn't you know everyone sitting around and smoking pot and dancing, doing circle dances? You know, like that. That was what, no. So they dropped the pot. They did the circle dance in San Francisco, and not so much other places. They had the space. You know,
I just realized that Srila Prabhupada taught this by his example. Because when he first went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was a nationalist.
Yes.
So he thought, once we, you know, accomplish this, yes, then we can perform bhakti.
Yes. Yes.
But then he gave up that idea.
Yes. Yes. And he gave up that. And not only that,
now we're here,
yeah, again. And then when he came to New York, the first place he preached was in the yoga studio. So we're thinking, oh, we're up to date, we're preaching. Yeah. No, Prabhupada already did that 50 years ago and left it for people who were more serious. Yeah.
So this whole idea.
Because he couldn't talk it straight.
Yeah.
Because if you get too strong in the Vaishnava thing, then Dr. Misra would say, oh, you know, all right, we should take a break now. Swamiji is getting tired, you know, and then he'd ask him to do kirtan. Or
it was uptown.
Yeah, there was uptown. It was also uptown. So everybody coming were all the rich ladies, you know, like that.
So it seems you should redirect our
So it seems in the very beginning, Prabhupada set it up for us that we just can't see.
every single mistake we'll possibly make in the future, he showed us by example not to do it.
Not to do
we
it.
We still do it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Amazing.
Yeah, but that even you do it, as long as you learn, that's third class intelligence, it's okay.
Yes.
Problem is when you do it and don't learn, then that is not glorious. Not glorious.
I just wanted to say, what is in the book of Srila Sivarama Prabhupada, she says that acharyas, when they describe the spells from Shraddha, they approach to the people of their time, and at that time people were already purified on the level of Yana Mahabai. Forward to the Dharma, and for them it was very short step from.
Yes, yes.
And without this analysis which we have come out with.
Yes, it's a short step. But the thing is, as you can see, you can take as short a step if you have that faith. Like you see those devotees in America, then in the 60s, they just had the faith in it and took it up. And because all Prabhupada was engaging them was basically in direct Bhagavad activities. You know, that especially just the hearing chanting, even the deity worship hadn't really started. Prabhupada did in his room, but I don't think anybody even noticed or took any, you know, so they used to call it bells. You know, they'd hear Prabhupada ringing the bells, but it wasn't like everybody wanted to go up and watch or sit there at the kirtan. It's just something Prabhupada did. Yes.
On that point, it's later comes up the topic about how in the process of karma and jnana also there are to some extent all these activities we perform in devotional service are included, especially accepting a bona fide spiritual master and surrendering to him and all those. So it's not for anybody and everybody. Earlier time, it used to be quick. It's only for those who followed this.
Yeah. Okay. You see? So it would be quick then. And you see it for those who would just give up everything and surrender, like those devotees who are doing it, you know, when Prabhupada's presence. Then it would work. The difficulty comes is that the sustainability of the religious aspect of Krishna consciousness, that becomes the difficulty. Because there is no background piety in this area. It means I've seen someone from an Orthodox family, they could do. But I mean, how many devotees are like that? There's a few. And so they don't have problem with all these things. But everybody else is, they're always trying to, you know, reach out, we don't go. So at least then when they ought to do the deity worship, they would stick to the five main principles. Anything outside of that didn't make any sense. You know. And so then that broadness and depth of being able to appreciate the religious aspect, you know. But otherwise, in general, they could catch the religious aspect and not this philosophical. So the ones that Shiva Ramas is talking about is the ones that are already following the religious, and now they come in contact with the Vaishnavas and hear about how the connection with Krishna, now the two are together, then they're taking it up seriously. But because the senior is surrendered to Krishna, the direct devotional service, even if you accept that, even if you don't have the religious background, you can still take it up. But then, in the association of Vaishnavas, you should naturally start developing the habits. Because what Prabhupada gave us from the Varnashram is very simple. Like that. Because when he mentions, you know, Manu, he's not mentioning that we have to follow all the rules of Manu. The ones he's quoting and giving us are in Manu. If you read Manu, you'll see so many. There's like, I don't know, 20, 30 verses like this, where you can see Prabhupada's just saying this. He just says it without the Sanskrit. You know, does that make sense? It's like, and some it's just a direct translation. It's not even paraphrasing. You know, and so then, like that, it goes on, and so then he's already introduced what is there. Just people have to understand it and scientifically follow it. You know, especially the leadership should know how to see it and engage people. So that means you have to have an appreciation, understanding of the religious process that we use to support the devotional activities. Does that make sense? So the deity worship, even though these are five direct, there's still a support of hearing and chanting Srimad, hearing and chanting the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, right? And in the temple it's a holy place. And then you're doing that in front of the deity. So all five go on very nicely. In the morning program, all five are so perfectly blended. And all aspects of all five, all the details, is perfectly blended. So the full Bhagavad is there, the full Pancharatrik is there, and then what is useful for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and you know, in the contemporary society, he's also given. It's just the one has to take it. It's not that we have to research it. And as you look at it, the research is just, you look at the purports and where Prabhupada's talking about it. And then try to analyze, are we doing that? Rather than, oh, it's a research because it's never been done before. It's never been talked about before. Like I heard one of our scholars was saying something that he was doing was never been done before. And this because he never saw it before. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember talking about it with him back in the 90s. He couldn't see it for the, how do you call it? What's that? Couldn't see it for the...
You see the trees through the forest?
That, or you know, something about the nose on your face, or there's one like that. It means he absolutely couldn't see it. He was so stuck in the identity as a physicist that he thought he was, you know, God's gift to the world. You know, fought with everybody else, split the BI, you know, did all this kind of stuff, you know, became a Ritvik, you know, the whole thing. We're not going to mention any names, of course. You know, so all this stuff like this, and now we hear the latest thing. Oh, he's doing this, and no one's ever done it before. No one's ever. It's kind of like, okay, finally, he finally saw it. You know, okay, that's you know, 30-year delay, but you know, he got it. That's the power of the holy name. So despite all these other, you know, very big obstacles to devotional service by associating with devotees and chanting, he started to get over them. So that's the power of the holy name. And so then, yes.
Still, it sounds like Buddhism.
It is Buddhism. He was directly talking Buddhism. He was sitting there with kids and explaining what physics were, and he was just straight Buddhism. He doesn't even know it. And only now he figures out that, oh, there's something more. There's, you know, like this, and that's kind of jai. You know. So all glories to the holy name. You know, it would be for him to stick around, so that's good. So that's the advantage of the religious side, is they stick around. Because Westerners, something goes a little haywire, they're gone. You see, the Indians, they never go. Something goes wrong, they just slowly take over and get what they want. You know, why go outside when you can get it here? You know, so in that way you could say, if you say, oh, but that means the Westerners are more honest. Not really. Because they think that without all these things you can't do devotional service. Because when they do want to get, now they're saying, oh, without the community, community's more important. We don't need temples anymore. And that, but who's developing communities? Who's training the communities? You know, there are individuals who do it, but, you know, as a general principle, no. So you have to have both. If you have philosophy without religion, you'll end it with speculation. Therefore, oh, is it this or is it that, or should we have this or that? All the issues all come from this, right? Because they don't accept the religion that automatically says, no, we don't do that. Oh, should we do this or that? No, you don't do that. You only do this. No, but you know, it's different times. So they're not accepting the religion. Or you accept the religion. Without the philosophy, you'll get sentiment or fanaticism. Oh, it has to be done like this, and it's not like this, and it's not Krishna consciousness. And, you know, so you get both. So it has to be balanced. So both are mentioned, because it'll be one or the other. You know, it's either the shoe or the pot. It's not the bird. See, he's out there moving the rocks, and you hear the sound, and then you think, ooh.
There's that one imitator, what it can do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It imitates any sound.
Yeah. Well, these Indian miners, the ones that make all the noise, they can be trained to talk. They're not as good as the full-on miners. They can. But parents can learn.
I'm talking about the words who just hear the sound and just imitate it.
Oh, a medium.
What is it called?
Mockingbirds.
Mockingbirds.
Because they mock the sound of it.
Yeah, mockingbirds. Miners can be taught. You know, it means that the parrots can be taught. Can lyrebirds talk? I'm not sure. They can make a ridiculous amount of sound. Main thing is if they have a wide range of sounds, you know, then...
These ones...
They just automatically...
Particularly seem to, they want to irritate the other ones by imitating. They just go for it, imitating.
So then you find one and go... You just say something that's insulting to them.
Mockingbird is stupid.
Yeah.
Mockingbird is stupid.
Yeah. You're just a bird brain.
You're just a bird brain.
Or I'm just a bird brain.
I'm just a bird brain.
You know, something like that. And then... And then he won't understand why you're becoming happier. You'll become more and more upset. Okay. On this elevated note, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki.